welcome back to my class lecture 6. This is Dr. Mok. It is for students of Wycliffe University located in USA, California, and Africa Theological Seminary in East Africa. As in-person lecture is not viable position due to COVID-19. This course is opened to everyone who is interested in leadership. However, credit will be given only to those who submit the required work on time. Before starting a lecture, let me emphasize to have a lecture note I have emailed earlier. It is not easy for you to understand this course without lecture notes. And there may be differences in how lecturer and student pronounce certain word. So please make sure to have a lecture note and print it out before listening lecture. Okay, let's go to the topic of studying as leaders. Okay, John F. Kennedy said, "You cannot separate leadership from learning." How will you grow up? First, invest in yourself. Invest in yourself. Harry Truman said, "If you want to read others, then you must first be able to read yourself." Second, never stop learning. Rick Warren, the author of The Purpose-Driven Life, said, "Once you stop learning, your life as a leader stops as well." If you want to continue being a leader, you must never stop learning. The best way to maintain trust of your follower is to show them your willingness to continue learning. Third, be influenced by your surroundings. Walt Disney said, "I am made up of part of everyone I have met in my life." In other words, whether you want to be a lifetime student or lead an organization suitable for growth, the secret of success can be found by those around you. Okay, next is obstacle to leadership. The most precarious time for the leader is right after victory. A victory is difficult, but what is more difficult is to protect that victory. You must be even more careful in time of prosperity than in time of crisis. You must be on guard even more when you are successful than you are going through difficult stretches. We remember advice of Thomas Carlyle. Crisis is a difficult opponent for all, but if there are 100 who can endure crisis, there is only one who can endure success. Many fall because of successes rather than of failure. In this respect, success is just as dangerous as failure. You can do great things if managed well, but if not, it can make life difficult for a lot of people. Therefore, leader must know what the winner's obstacles are. First, guard against carelessness. Against carelessness, the biggest obstacle of winners is carelessness. Apostle Paul was well aware of this and warned against carelessness. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 12 says, "So, if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall." Second, we can see that the biggest obstacle is ourselves. Napoleon said after being humiliated at Waterloo, "My demise is not to be blamed on anyone but me. I was my worst enemy and the cause of this tragic destiny." Jack Poir said, "Life is like a hurdle race, and the biggest one of all is myself." Third, the great victory is to get up after falling down. Confucius said, "The greatest victory is not to fall, but to get up each time you fall." No failure means no trial, no ordeal, no test. God never uses those who have not passed through trial, ordeal, and test. God actually uses those who have come out stronger from their trial and ordeals. Therefore, we must never be disappointed when experiencing failure. We must never be discouraged. The righteous in the Bible are not those who never falter. It is those who raise up every time they fall. For though a righteous man falls 7 times, he rises again. But the wicked are brought down by calamity. Okay. And next topic is leadership killers. There are so many of us who have the potential to become great leader, but disappear unfortunately because they are not able to train themselves to show it. This is because they were not able to overcome different obstacles they encounter on their way. Let's think about what is the killers of leader. There are 2, external killers and internal killer. External killers is mannerism. You know, the mannerism. Okay, a system is established in order to achieve the vision, but as the time goes by, the system actually hinders with the organization's vision. Because their manual is so thorough and detailed, they just get used to do things and work as robots according to the manual, their policies, textbook. They are opposed to changes and do not want to cross that bridge to real success. However, they just don't know they are frogs slowing dining in the warm water. Do you know what this means? Okay, I hope you understand everything. This is a frog story. Okay, next, people. Leadership is about managing people. So it is also right in saying that a leader is made by people. Ironically, however, the leadership candidate with the real potential sometimes end up falling miserably because of people. We maintain relationship with three types of people at all times, and each type can become a leadership killer in their own way. First, our leaders. Regardless of how much leadership potential you have, if you are walking under the nihilistic leader who does not pay attention to mentoring his follower, it is easy for that potential to wither away. Under this leadership, any leadership potential is likely to wither away. Second, jealous and critical colleagues. The communist government create the system where colleagues spy on each other in order to seamlessly manage their organization. As a result, they were able to minimize the chance of espionage and treason, but resulting lack of trust and teamwork among the co-worker slowly made it lifeless and robotic. This was the reason why many great talent had to risk their lives to exile to the future. Third, disobedient and negative follower. Unfounded rumor, rude remark, and irresponsible word and behavior have disappointed countless leaders and pushed them out of their leadership positions. A well-known leadership expert called these difficult followers hidden sharks. There are always people like this, and unless managed well, the leadership itself can be shaken to its foundation. So, the social-cultural limitation. Cultural limitation. Warren Bennis is the professor at the USC Business School and served as advisor to the four U.S. presidents. He pointed out that the American culture, with its root on individualism, materialism, and pressure, has become a critical obstacle to bring about the good leadership to this country. Especially, it has become prevalent to pay more attention to the flamboyant leader rather than those with real substance of vision and principle. Second is internal killer. For internal killer, we will be able to think about inferiority complex, arrogance, or worry, self-righteousness, moral hazard. For those subjects, I have the file. I have mentioned on my appendix. You can see the last page of this lecture notebook. Okay. Then let's go to next topic: creative leadership. What is creative leadership? It is not anything new. It is about being more open, more communicative, more sharing, and full of spirituality. Spirituality. The differences from traditional leadership is just the attitude and the behavioral patterns. It is not just about creating something new, but making it beautiful, wise, and righteous. In order for this to happen, you need an abundance of creative imagination based upon spirituality. Spirituality. If you are to become a true creative and successful leader, you must pay attention, give everything you have, materialize your imagination, pray hard, work together, and create. The key word here is together. The key word here is together. You cannot do it by yourself in a creative society. It is about the team leadership, co-leadership, leading together. So, creative leadership must be first paying attention. Paying attention. This is to change the way you have concentrating, and to do so using left-right mode. Left mode is about the language, thought, and analysis, while the right mode is about the imagination, full competence. It has been said that the right side of the brain contains the wisdom of your ancestor being passed on to the next generation. Therefore, you must use both modes when you concentrate. In other words, it is to use your entire brain. In order to do that, you must pay attention to the negative space which you have been intentionally or unintentionally avoided until now. And you must also improve the kinesthetic effect by moving your body. Second, give everything you have. You must call up everyone once of your resource, including your passion, to connect and work with those within your organization. If you do not know what your colleagues are, what they know, and what they expect, you cannot be their leader. No matter where you are, people have different talent. There are so much more to these people other than the work itself. But they just don't know how to effectively use those gifts. Third, conceptualize. conceptualize your imagination. It is to go beyond reap what you sow mentality. Image and how they are projected are constantly changing, going through revolution after the revolution. Pictures, stories, symbolism, visual art have breathed a new life into the language of this new era. You must set your story straight and use different metaphors to project your image. Project your image. Fourth, play hard. Play hard. Sociologists like Kenneth Gordon have been emphasizing how playing is important to person's development. The reason for re-emphasize on playing is because playing is a rhythm, a flow, a science, and a skill. Running around and playing are based upon curiosity, experimental spirit, and thirst for knowledge. You must, of course, work hard, but the more complicated thing get, you must also be able to get away and give up at time. Training make you curious about things. You get yourself out of your usual restriction and change the way you work. You explore freely, experiment with things a little bit, and move your body around a little bit in order to create new knowledge. Fifth, work together. Work together. Working together is about putting something in the middle and going beyond the limit through creating a common ground and having a conversation. Six, share leadership. Share leadership. The 21st century is not about doing it alone, but doing it together. Two or three or team get together to accomplish a common goal. If leadership so far was about the individual, the leadership of the 21st century is based on the team, not an individual. It is not an outdated system of linker and mangler, but the horizontal organization that give each member the same responsibility and authority to carry out the given task. It is no longer a leader taking on the responsibility by himself, but all together. It is not a cosmic makeup of leaders and follow anymore. Therefore, a leadership that is a co-owned, combined concept of partnership and team leadership, it is not about one individual at the peak, but two, three, four, five people take over a difficult team to lead. Traditional style of manning your desk is no longer viable. The era of CEO behind the mahogany desk is no longer viable. Now is the era of CEOs moving and working together. People now realize that this cooperative spirit is the strategy that can bring out the most talent out of the organization. This is like a promise. then make everyone within the organization partners in order to safety ever-changing appetite and demand for teamwork.
Okay, sorry. Wait a moment. My recording machine have problem. So okay, wait a second. Okay, how to try?
Satisfy.
Okay.
Ever-changing appetite.
Okay, sorry. Something happened. Confusion. Okay.
The most typical of this new leadership can be found in Steve Ballmer, the guy behind the sense of Microsoft. If Gage was the guy finding new market, Ballmer found a way to dominate the market. If Gage was the quarterback, Ballmer was the workhorse, running back, who did everything he could do to help his team win. Just like their goal getter and there is the playmaker in soccer, everyone must work together for the common goal. Okay, then let's think about relationship between leadership and the organization. Relationship between leadership and organization. You cannot think leadership separately from organization. In order to understand leadership, you must first understand the type and the way of communication for that organization. In order for leadership to be deployed, you must first have an organization. Two or more people make up an organization. Therefore, it doesn't make any sense for anyone to say he knows leadership without knowing the organization. There are different types of corresponding characteristics of organization. Then what kind of organization are there? First, organization as a machine. Organization has its means, its mean as tool or an instrument. Second, organization as an organism. Due to the paradigm shift from mechanical science to biology, equation such as molecules equal individual, cell equal house, organism equal organization, species equal group of organization, ecology equal society, etc. Third, organization as the brain. It is about studying and organizing oneself. There are curious differences between brain and a piece of machinery. Even if you eliminate 90% of its brain, a mouse still found its way around the maze. On the other hand, see if your radio works after taking 90% of its part out. There is nothing that can stand up to brain in this world. So, brain is the system that handles information. Brain is a complex chemical response system they send out a messenger and cause the behavior. Brain is the black box that connects stimulus and the reflex. Brain use the chemical and the electrical changes and turn them into the ideas. Brain is the language system that work based on the neurological code that turn external changes to behavior. Brain is the paradox. In other words, it's the process in which different elements of conversation, of logic, and the expansion of highly original thinking converge to create a single process. First, organization as culture. Think of organization as a cultural phenomenon. Cultural difference creates different meaning to an organization. Fifth, organization as a mental prison. Mental prison. People are bound in chain in this cave, and they cannot move at all. They can only look at the cave and the world surrounding them. The light shine against the world and bring out the shadow of man and a different object. People in the cave take this shadow as the reality, name them, talk about them, and connect the sound coming from outside the cave to the movement of this shadow, this shade on the world. To the captives in the cave, the truth and the reality only exist in this world of shadows. This is because they do not have any other knowledge about the world than the one within the cave. If anyone of these people get to out of the cave, come back and explain how the real world works, the people wouldn't believe him. It is highly possible for anyone to be a prisoner of the favorable way of thinking. To study relationship between leadership and organization is very important for leaders. Okay, let's see leaders' attitude. Attitude, leaders' attitude. It is a self-assessment standard. How do we assess ourselves? John Maxwell said, first, we do not apply the same standard we apply when judging others. One of the most important lessons I learned in my career of consulting people is that the majority of the people do not really see themselves the way they should. If we do not see ourselves straight, then we will never know where we have gone wrong, and as a result, we cannot guide ourselves to right path.
Okay, sorry, problem happened again. Okay, let me see. Okay, what's problem? Wait moment.
Second, we are harsher to others than we are to ourselves. The majority of people have a double standard when it comes to judging themselves and judging others. When we judge others, we take his action as the base of the criticism, and we use the highest of high standard. On the other hand, when we judge ourselves, we take our motive as the base. Therefore, we easily forgive ourselves for our mistake if our motive were good. This leads us to continue making mistakes and forgiving ourselves until change is demanded to us. Second, handling criticism. How do we handle criticism? Here is a good example to handle criticism, like a salesman told his barber that he planned to take a trip to Rome. The barber was from northern Italy. Oh, Rome is so overrated. Which airline are you flying? When the salesman told him the name of airline, the barber said, "Really? Seats are packed and they served crappy food. Their planes are delayed all the time. Where are you staying?" When the salesman told him the name of hotel he was staying, the barber almost screamed, "Why would you want to stay at such a place? That hotel is in Crimea area and is known for its horrible service. You would be better off staying at someone's house." The salesman answered, "Well, anyway, I am hoping to close a big deal in Rome. After that, I'd like to meet the Pope if possible. You will run into a lot of problems doing business in Italy, and don't even think about meeting the Pope. He only meets with the important people." 3 weeks later, the salesman finished his business trip and went back to the barbershop. The barber asked, "How was your trip?" "Oh, it was the best. The airline was perfect. Hotel service was great. I got the deal done, and I got to meet the Pope." Barber almost screamed in disbelief. "You met the Pope? Really? How was it?" "I slowly walked to him, bowed down, and kissed his ring." "Whoa, what did the Pope say?" "Well, he looked at my hair intently and said, 'Where in the world did you get that haircut? It's horrible.' Well, how do you think about this episode?" Interesting? Yes. Okay, so to overcome criticism, first, know yourself. Benjamin Franklin said, 3 things are very difficult to conquer: steel, diamond, and knowing ourselves. Second, change yourself. If someone gives me an accurate and sincere criticism, I must be able to take a measure to resolve that. It is my responsibility and my duty, as well as a condition to becoming an excellent leader. If I can take constructive criticism and take that as my chance to look back at myself and to acknowledge my weakness, this will give me a chance to change my life for the better. Of course, it's hard to be criticized, and more often than not, we let our frustration show. However, after I calm down, I sit down and think about whether that criticism was constructive or destructive. We must escape from the trap of thinking my criticism is always constructive while others is destructive. In order to avoid getting trapped into thinking like that, I go through the following routine to see what kind of criticism it is. First, who criticized? A hostile criticism of wise men is better than jealous applause of a fool. Therefore, at times, it is important to see who criticized you. Second, how did they criticize you? I think careful about whether that person had my best interest in heart or not. Third, why? Why did he criticize you? Is it based on the personal issue? It is for my benefit? Sometimes people criticize for the sake of criticizing and take pleasure in harsh criticism. This kind of criticism does not help the recipient at all. Whether justified or not, it is up to me to decide whether I grow from it or not. It is only when we have the willingness to change that we can move into the right direction. For this reason, I tried very hard to keep right attitude whenever I am criticized. In other words, I do not try to find excuse. I try to find the smallest of truths in that piece of criticism. I try to see what changes are necessary. I try to do the right thing. Okay, so acknowledge yourself. You can see where your strengths are only when you know yourself and acknowledge yourself. I have stressed that we must work in the areas of our strengths a few times already. I want to re-emphasize that this is a sign of maturity to be able to acknowledge yourself. Why should you be worried about now? Worry about how others think of you. It is because you believe in the opinion of others than your own. Judy Bowick says self-confidence does not come from being acknowledged by others. Real self-confidence comes from within, from knowing your strengths and weakness. First, ruse yourself. We started to handle criticism like know yourself, change yourself, acknowledge yourself. The final step to handle criticism is to ruse yourself. In other words, stop concentrating on yourself. As we grow up, we have spent so much time worrying about what others think of you. Remember the teaching of Pakhan Bitti, who say, learn to live your way. Learn to live your way. Don't worry about what others tell you. Don't worry if they hate you. It is a blessing to be able to laugh about your own problem. You will always be happy. Amen. Okay. Please check assignment and read through appendix added an additional to last page, okay? Don't forget appendix to read. Okay, so assignment like, what are your weakness as a human being? What are your weakness as a leader? What do I need to change? How do I react to criticism? Ignore it? Try to make excuse for it? Fight against it? Okay, all three responses are not the right response. Then how to do? Okay, fifth, what did you do after being criticized? Who criticized me? How did he criticize me? Why did he criticize me? Do you think about this thing and think about the guy who criticized you? Six, do you think our criticism as a chance to change yourself? Okay. Okay, thank you. Thank you for listening my lecture intently. Okay, assignment have to be written, have to be turned in before next class is open. Okay, see you soon. May God bless all of you and your family. Okay, bye. See you soon.